Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A chill in the air on this Saturday, State Boys Hockey Tournament final day. We have one champion, St. Cloud Cathedral, won the 1A title beating Hermantown 3-1 at the XL Energy Center. The 2A title game tonight, it'll be Edina against Chanahassen. And Edina's won a lot of titles over the years of perennial power. Chan in their first tournament going for the title tonight. So the Hornets and the Storm at 7 o'clock. And we'll have a preview of that later on in the hour with David Levesque, who covers prep sports and the main hockey guy over at the Star Tribune. Our main outdoors guy, Steve Kearney, joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve-O, good to visit with you.
Good to visit with you, Steve. Why is it always Edina? That's, I really like to know that. I grew up on the Edina border as a kid, and it's like, why is it always Edina? They must have a heck of a youth program.
They do. They probably have the youth program of youth programs. They have tons of boys and girls coming out. The girls team won the state title. They just develop a ton of hockey players down there. It's always been that way. There's other associations that have a lot of kids coming out. Osseo Maple Grove is another one, and they have good hockey. There are others in the metro, but there's no doubt that youth program in Edina is the gold standard. They get the kids out year in and year out. It's pretty incredible. Now, I know open water will get you out. Yes. Steve, tell us more. Where you been?
I am locked and loaded, Steve. The boat is ready. I'm going to drop into the Missouri River here in 48 hours. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be what's really interesting, the weather out there we've talked about before has what's called a Chinook effect. When you get west of Mitchell, it's a completely different weather system, and we're looking at 60s and 70s this week out there, believe it or not, and really looking forward to it. I've got fishing commitments out there, and then I'm going to slide into the Sioux Falls Sports Show at the end of the week. So I'm going to be gone for a little bit, but it's going to be all fun and games, and really looking forward to breaking the boat in and getting the motor broken in and making sure everything works and make sure the boat floats. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I know you spend a ton of hours with clients all summer long, and it really is a busy time of year, but I know you love this trip to the Missouri River, and this is a reliable fishery, and it is one of those where, you know, even if you live in the cities, it is doable. You can easily get there in a day and be on the water.
Yeah, it's a long drive, Steve, as you know. It's a good 6 hours from the metro,
yeah.
But once you get there, it's a completely different world, and right now, those fish are in a pre-spawn mode, and what's amazing, they're at least 3 or 4 weeks ahead of what the walleyes are doing in Minnesota, and they've got flowing water there. There's no runoff. They didn't have any snow either, so the water levels are very low, very easy to find the fish. The current is very gentle, and that's really the place to be, and it is getting much more popular. There's people from Nebraska and Michigan and Tennessee and Iowa, I mean, they're from all over the place because the fishery is so incredible. But what's interesting people need to know about that system is there's hydroelectric dams all the way down that system. And it took me a long time to figure this out, but they actually turn off the hydroelectric dams on Friday about 3 o'clock. And as you know, walleyes love current. So that means on the weekend it's going to be tougher fishing because once that current is shut off, those walleyes will react to that and go very neutral. And the flip side is when they start the current again on Monday, fishing just gets better from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday, because those fish react to that current. The bait fish are moving. The system is active. And you really want to try to get out there during the week if you can. Walleyes, you know, and current are just, they're just so connected. It's really amazing. But it's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful time of year. And the Rainy River is going to be starting here pretty quick. There's still some ice up there. A lot of people are in Wisconsin on the Fox River. That's been opening up. A lot of opportunities. Ice out looks like it's a little delayed. You know, we've had some cold nights up in the northern part of Minnesota and the northwest, and things kind of refroze again. But it looks like 10 days, maybe 2 weeks at the outset. But again, we're going to be at least a month ahead of last year. So it's looking good.
Yeah, and Steve, what's crazy about this, you know, in recent years, we've had these tough, hard winters, and it's just been kind of like, well, you know, fishing opener in May, it could be really tough. Will the ice even be out? If things continue to trend this way, we could have a fishing opener for the books. Now, it's hard to predict, but things are trending in the direction where it could be just phenomenal fishing in May.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be kind of a double-edged sword, Steve, mainly because this April pattern, they're going to be spawning and doing their thing, and by the time we hit the Minnesota opener on May 14th, those fish could be out of their spring patterns, and they won't be shallow, and they won't be by the river mouse, and they could be dispersed out almost in a early summer pattern. So these fish may not be where you think they're going to be. They may not be in their traditional spring spots. So a lot of it's going to depend on what April is, if we have a ton of heat and warmth or if it's cold. And so I think a lot of anglers on the Minnesota Open are going to be very surprised and shocked that these fish are not where they're supposed to be. So we'll have to see how the month of April goes. And Big Stone Traverse is next on my agenda. That's opening up slowly. April will be awesome down there. Awesome down there meaning almost like May patterns because they're so far ahead. So it's almost like we got an extra month of fishing, so you got to like that.
Yeah, for sure. And you brought up water levels. We can just keep praying for rain at this point. We still may see snow. I mean, in reality, it's still March. We can get storms moving through. We can get storms in April as well. Looks like here in the cities anyway, we could get some much-needed rain later in the week, and that is a big deal. We need it.
We are hurting, Steve. There's a lot of accesses in northern Minnesota, northwest Minnesota, where the concrete is sticking out of the water, and it's as low as I've ever seen it. A lot of the sloughs and potholes are dry. We need some torrential rain. We need it bad, and we were already kind of low last year, and this lack of snow, you know, the good news is we don't have runoff into the lakes and rivers, so that's good, but we still need the moisture to fill up the lakes and the sloughs, so hoping for that for sure, and I'm hoping we have a very wet April, but a decent April, not super cold, not super warm, just kind of average with some rain, so that would really help.
All right. Always good to visit with you, Steve. And once again, safe travels to the Missouri River. And we'll visit with you in a week from the Sioux Falls show. So look forward to
it. Sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right. There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com, joining us. When we come back, college hockey in the spotlight. The Golden Gophers in good shape. Jess Myers joins us from the rink live here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is the final day of the boys' state hockey tournament, but there is a lot of other stuff going on the ice around town. And 3M Arena at Mariucci is one of those spots. And the Minnesota Golden Gophers, Penn State Nittany Lions, and the Golden Gophers in good shape, Jazz Myers.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what somebody put in Jackson Nelson's breakfast cereal about 3 weeks ago, but I think now he's got 8 goals in his last 5 games or 4 games in a period now. 2 goals for him in the first period today. He had one yesterday as the Gophers took control of things. So Gophers up 2-0 after 1 here on Penn State. And this is the second game of a best of 3 Big Ten playoff series. So if the Gophers can close this one out in the next 40 minutes, they move on to round two. Now, here's where it gets interesting, Steve. We were all set with the idea that in round two they were probably going to go to Madison next weekend for a one-gamer against the Badgers. But Ohio State, for whatever reason, they finished seventh in the league. That's last place. But they've got the Badgers' number. They went into the Kohl Center last night. The Buckeyes did, and they won a game over Wisconsin. So if Ohio State wins tonight or wins tomorrow in game three, that means the Gophers would be at home next weekend. So as I said on Twitter, if Gopher fans needed just one more reason to root against Bucky Badger, there it is. You could get a home game next weekend.
Yeah, Badgers lose at home at Kohl Center. That's a shame, man. I feel for them.
I know you were busted up over it. Although the women's team, the Badger women's team went out and got revenge today. They just beat the Buckeyes 6-3 in the WCHA tournament championship game. Also some interesting news there, Steve. 9 consecutive years that the WCHA has played their postseason tournament here in Minneapolis at Ritter Arena. They just announced next year they're going back to Duluth. They haven't been there since 2012, but Amsoil Arena in Duluth is going to host the WCHA tournament next year, 2025. So something to look forward to. And, you know, Amsoil is a great facility, and they'll do well up there, I think.
Oh, phenomenal building, great hockey town. No doubt, home of Section 7 and, of course, the UMD Bulldogs. I think that is a great move to move it around. A thought on the Golden Gopher women's program. It is not the year you'd expect from one of the marquee programs in women's hockey. I would have to say, Jess, at the moment, it is a disappointment.
It's been a decent year for the Gophers, not a great year. You know, clearly, I think they're the third best team in the WCHA. A lot of folks would be happy with that. Obviously, the expectations here in the Twin Cities are higher. They have got a fantastic recruiting class coming in next year, including one of the best players in the world out of Canada coming here. So there's a thought that, you know, maybe this was one of those years where you just kind of bide your time and get through it. Now, the Gophers are going to make the NCAA tournament. If they would have won yesterday, they might have gotten a home game in the NCAA tournament. As it looks right now, they're probably going to be going on the road to someplace like Colgate or Clarkson or someplace out east and are going to have to win a couple of games out there to get to the Frozen Four. So a tougher road for these Gophers this year after what you said has been, you know, an uncharacteristic season for them, let's say.
Yeah, I just can't get over that weekend when Ohio State came in and just demolished Minnesota at Ritter Arena. And as you pointed out, Ohio State and Wisconsin have just been absolutely outstanding. And it still goes back to to what they've done. Now, granted, it is the Ohio State University, and they have big money. But as you pointed out a number of times, they don't have great facilities yet. Once they get their own building, look out.
I had a fun conversation earlier today with Liz Sheppers, who's from out in Mound. You know, she's from a notable hockey family. She's the granddaughter of Murray Oliver, you know, the legendary North Star. But she was talking about when she got recruited to play at Ohio State, that was the big thing was, you know, they hadn't won a lot of games. They were playing in a substandard facility. But credit to Nadine Muzzerall for the job that she has done turning that program around, not only on the ice, but now they're talking about where and when they're going to build their new arena there at Ohio State. So things are obviously looking up on the women's hockey side for the Buckeyes as they look to host a regional next week as well.
Yeah, let's get an update on what's going on in the NCHC as we move closer and closer to the NCAA tournament.
Yes, so the surprise in the NCHC has been Colorado College this season. And, in fact, if the Tigers win tonight, they will finish second in that league. North Dakota has already wrapped up the title. And then you've got teams like Denver and St. Cloud State, which are, you know, I think Denver's pretty well a lock to make the NCAA tournament. I think Colorado College is a lock as well. Western Michigan is right in there. St. Cloud State is the team I would worry about. They lost a game they probably shouldn't have lost last night up in Duluth. Bulldogs storm back with the final 3 goals of the game to win 6-5 in overtime. And this is not a great UMD team. They've been injured. They've had some struggles on ice this year. So that's obviously one that the Huskies would want back, to lose that one up in Duluth last night. And that really hurts them in terms of the NCAA playoffs. So, getting back into the NCAA playoffs, where they were in a regional final last year, you'll remember, against the Gophers up in Fargo. They're going to need to win tonight. They're going to need to probably win some playoff games if they're going to get back into the NCAAs.
All right, and then CCHA, there's a lot of interest in that. Of course, the upstart, Augustana, making the move to Division One. We've got St. Thomas in that transition phase. And then, of course, at the top of the standings, our friends from Bemidji, the Beavers, in good shape.
Congratulations to the Beavers. In fact, I'm pretty sure they were the one team out of six in the state of Minnesota to win a regular season title this year. So good on them. And they won their first playoff game last night. The big upset last night, St. Thomas, which finished second in the conference, they get a home series. They got upset by Lake Superior State last night out in Mendota Heights. So they're up against the wall, possibly, you know, needing to win tonight to force a game three for the Tommies. But, you know, we've talked about it a lot, too. That's a program where you can only see good things coming down the road when they get their own building and with the job of recruiting and coaching they're doing already.
Yeah, and you've kind of brought up, as we get ready for the NCAA tournament and those teams on the bubble, what's great about this time of year is there's still some unknowns. So if you're on the bubble, you're really sweating it out because things can happen. There can be upsets in these tournaments.
We're rapidly approaching the six-year anniversary of that crazy NCAA tournament selection back in 2018. If you'll recall, Steve, it came down to either the Bulldogs from UMD or the Gophers from Minnesota were getting in, not both, and they went through something like 75 mathematical scenarios, and Minnesota Duluth got in just by the you know, smallest decimal margin they possibly could. And then they turn around and win four games and claim a national championship. So that shows you the importance of just getting into the tournament. And once you're there, anything can happen. You get a hot goalie, you get, you know, a bad bounce off somebody's skate, whatever happens, just get there and good things can happen to you.
Well, and with the Frozen Four and where it's located this year, this is huge for the Rink Live and the travel budget. This is
absolutely
a very good deal.
Yeah, although I may be looking at a regional in, you know, Providence, Rhode Island, or Springfield, Massachusetts, or someplace crazy like that. So, you know, last year we got to go to Fargo for the regional, which was a nice easy drive, and then had to go to Tampa for the Frozen Four. Now, not that I'm complaining about having to go to Tampa for the Frozen Four, because I'll go there anytime you want me to. But yeah, it's going to be a little different this year with having the Frozen Four right in the backyard. I may have to talk to the bosses about getting a hotel room though, because I'm thinking there might be a late night or two at Zambo or Tom Reed's or one of those.
Well, no, wait a minute. You know, there's always ride share.
That's a good plan. I want to support the Lyft folks. As long as we still have ride share in the Twin Cities by then, you know, with all the crazy stuff going on in the news in Minneapolis, we will have to see.
we'll see about the ride share thing. There's been plenty of talk, and by the way, plenty of podcasts on the ride share debate at WCCRadio.com. But a note about the Frozen Four is this is college hockey's annual convention. I mean, this event has changed a lot over the years. This is really a big deal for the game. And not only college hockey period, because I would assume every pro scout is in town. It's a big deal.
For people who haven't been to the Frozen Four, you're absolutely right. Last year was my 30th, okay? And I started going to the Frozen Four in an era where it was played in buildings that had 10,000 seats, 11,000 seats, you know, minor league buildings where they would host the Frozen Four. Going way back, it was played in places like Grand Forks and Duluth and you know, smaller buildings like that.
Yep.
It's now almost exclusively the property of NHL-sized buildings, and you're going to see that here at XL Energy Center. The other thing about it, you're absolutely right. It's like the annual convention for all of college hockey, because you walk around the concourse at the Frozen Four, and you will see folks wearing jerseys from literally every team in the country. It's fantastic to watch how everybody comes out and they support their team, even if it's, you know, Maine that hasn't been there in 20 years, even if it's, you know, St. Thomas that's never been there. You will see jerseys from absolutely everywhere around the country.
Yeah, so another great event. Got Big Ten women's hoops here now, Big Ten men's hoops coming to town. We still have to get through all the state tournaments, of course, in March, and then the Frozen Four in April over in St. Paul, and they'll do another phenomenal job.
Speaking of the state tournament, I wanted to give a stick salute to St. Cloud Cathedral. kind of a surprise. I think they were the third seed in the tournament. They take care of business today against Hermantown. They win the Class A title. So second ever title for the Crusaders, and congratulations to them.
Yeah, and how about those sweet sweaters today with that old Saints logo? I'm not kidding you. They were really good.
Yeah.
Oh, they were really good.
Fantastic look to them.
Now, I called a semifinal game last night, Creighton-Durham Hall against Chan Hansen, and I will say this, Chan's terrific. They have a lot of speed. That top line is just unbelievable. The Uhlenkamp kid headed for Wisconsin is just terrific. Really some great players, and it should be a great 2A title game against Edina. But from the Al Shaver press box down to ice, seeing those gold numerals on white sweaters, almost impossible. It was.
They are not easy to read. And hey, here's the other thing I'll say about this tournament. Could they have scripted it any better for Louie's final game, Lou Nanny's final game, after 60 years of calling the state tournament? Could they have scripted it any better than to have his Edina Hornets make one last run just for him? I don't know if they're going to win it. I think Chan Hansen's probably a better team, but what a fantastic way for Louie to go out, and just a great person, and a sick salute to him for being truly one of the nicest guys I've ever known, and a Minnesota hockey legend. What a great way to go out.
Yeah, no, great way to put it. Minnesota hockey legend tonight with the Hornets against the Storm in the title game. But a final parting shot. If you have anything to do with hockey, stop putting gold or silver numerals on white sweaters. Stop.
Please. Well, I got to talk to the PWHL team here, too. I gotta have a little talk with them. They have fantastic purple jerseys with black numbers on the back. Same deal. Press box level, XL Energy Center. You can't read it. You can't tell who's on the ice.
No, it's just absolutely impossible. When they came out for warm-ups, I looked to my partner who was doing the analysis on the radio last night, and I said, I'm in big trouble here. I didn't bring my binoculars. Usually I have that for binoculars for two sports, football in the fall, lacrosse in the spring. I didn't have my binoculars. I needed them last night. It was insane to pick this out, especially where we were sitting, the one end of the rink. It was really, really tough. Anyway, Jazz, I know you can relate. Always good to visit with you. Once again, Gophers, Nittany Lions, period number two, at 3M Arena at Mariucci. If the Gophers hang on, they advance. If not, they'll play again tomorrow.
That's correct. And, I always said this, Steve, nobody in the media really cares who wins except the second game of a best of three, because you never want to come back for that Sunday game. So let's hope the Gophers get this one done tonight.
All right, Jess, always good to visit with you. Jess Myers from The Rink Live. He's at 3M Arena at Mariucci. A quick break. We'll update the weather and then more hockey talk. David LeVake in the belly of the beast at the XL Energy Center. He's been covering for the Star Tribune. One title game in the books, one to go. We'll get into that. And by the way, David, they have a brand new edition of Tourney Time, a book first released 4 years ago. They've updated it, re-released it. We'll get into that with David in a moment, here on News Talk, 830W.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CCO. Final day of the boys' state hockey tournament. XL Energy Center St. Paul. Consolation games at Aldrich in Maplewood. I had a chance to call both AA consolation semifinals yesterday. And the teams had contrasting numerals on their jerseys, so it made it easy for me. By the way, a quick rundown of what went on in 1-8 today earlier. St. Cloud Cathedral beat Hermantown 3-1. By the way, Cathedral also should win a trophy for those sweaters they wore in the championship game today. They were just phenomenal. Warroad beat Montemedi 4-1 this morning at the X for third place. Consolation over at good old Aldrich. It was Orno beating Northfield 1-0, the final there. And then, of course, in AA, they'll award a championship tonight. Chan has an against Edina, and joining us to talk about that and the tourney is David Levesque from the Star Tribune, online at startribune.com. David, good to visit with you.
Good to visit with you, Steve. What's happening?
First of all, consolation games over at Aldrich, there were some people that said, oh, you know, I don't know about that. You know, they used to be at Mariucci Arena. Aldrich, I love the building. I love calling games at Aldrich Arena, so I'm a bit biased, but I thought it was a great venue and it was fun. For those AA consolation semifinals yesterday at 11 a.m. And 1 p.m., both games were on the blowout side, but there were still, you know, good crowds. The building was almost full. It was a fun atmosphere, and once again, I love the rink.
Yeah, it's appropriately sized for the consolation games, and so it's a fun way to go out if you're playing in those games, because you've got it's not the X, of course, but you've got a pretty loud building, and that creates a good environment for the games.
Yeah, and by the way, earlier Centennial beat Elk River Zimmerman, a Northwest Suburban showdown. Cougars win it 3-2. The final third place game, Grand Rapids, Creighton-Durham Hall, underway at the XL Energy Center. Creighton-Durham Hall comes in as a 5 seed in Section 3. They kind of got run over early by Chanhassen. The Storm make it to the title game. And then, of course, Edina too much for Grand Rapids, and it will be Edina and Chan. And I brought it up with Jess Myers, and it's so true. As Lou Nanny says goodbye to 60 years in the television booth of the tourney, how appropriate that the Edina Hornets are playing for a title in year number 60.
Yeah, it's very much so. And that was just a few years ago when the high school tournament turned 75. Who won that in 2019? Edina. So
yeah,
they just seem to find a way to rise to the occasion when you've got the different milestones with the tournament or with someone who's integral to the tournament's history in Lou Nanny.
Yeah, and David, a lot of people say, well, you know, Edina, but this goes back a long, long time in the game, back to the 60s. And the one thing you can say about Edina, phenomenal youth program, the gold standard of youth programs here in the state of Minnesota. They're just generating, boys and girls, generating a lot of talent out of those three rinks at Braemar. It's incredible. A lot of homegrown talent there. And, of course, you had the legend Willard Eichler, and now Kurt Giles has taken the torch. I mean, you got to tip your cap to what they've done at the youth level, through the high school level, and then, of course, the girls program as well.
Yeah, you're right. And one of the things that I think is an ultimate tribute is by Grant Clafton, the coach of the Grand Rapids hockey team that Edina beat in the semifinals. And he said that it's a heavy team. It's a team that can skate, but it's also a team that they make their own breaks, and they work for everything they get on the ice. So I thought that was a pretty good tribute to some sort of tradition of hardworking kids. And yeah, you know, fine, we call them cake eaters, haha, you know, we have a good time with it. But the reality is that they, you know, Grant's right. They work hard, they make their own breaks, and that they can't be as good as you've been over the years not being that way of playing.
Yeah, and Kurt Giles is, you know, was a for people old enough to remember, is an NHL career. Is almost a perfect fit because he's such a no-nonsense guy and so straightforward. And the teams, play hard, as you pointed out. I mean, you can't argue with their effort night in and night out. I saw them at Aldridge against Hill Murray earlier in the season, and it was like, you know, these guys battle every shift. You have to admire it.
They really do. They really do. They're relentless, and they talk about the history with Edina, and I think the history is that they come in waves, and that they are, that you can't really differentiate the first line to the third line. And that's not to say the first line is weak. It's just to say the floor doesn't drop out when you get to those lower lines. And that's part of the reason they're great. They can keep coming at you.
Yeah, and they've got good balance, some good young kids. Mason West, who was the quarterback on that team that all made it all the way to the championship game, a Prep Bowl before losing to Centennial. He's a terrific player and just a sophomore. I just can't get over how good a player he is. But, you know, once again, it is Edina, and they bring up great players every year. And then on the flip side, you got the Chanhassen Storm in the tournament. A lot of great players. They had a phenomenal year. They knock off Minnetonka in the section final. And here they are trying to get to the summit tonight against, you know, the program in boys hockey.
Yeah, Kurt Giles was in the media room last night talking about the win over Chanhassen, but also what was to head now for, in terms of playing Chanhassen tonight. And he said, you know, because much was said about this is the first Chanhassen team to get to state, so they don't really have any experience on their side like Edina has. And he said, it's the way I see it. I've watched them play. I saw them play Minnetonka over at Braemar. I've seen them a few other times this year. He said they're not nervous. They're not nervous about anything. So he said it kind of seems like the experience thing is kind of a wash in Kurt's mind, and it may very well be, but we'll find out tonight. They have probably as good of a goalie as Bertram is for Edina. Chanhassen has Cam Hendrickson, and that he's definitely the favorite to win the Frank Brimzak Award tomorrow, and he's certainly a great place to start with in terms of the strength of Chanhassen. So that's a very good team.
Yeah, and they have elite goal scoring, the likes of Christ and Lee, and then, of course, Uhlenkamp, tremendous speed. Really, really an impressive team. But I mentioned this earlier, and I'll say it again. The gold numerals on the white jerseys for the semifinals were an absolute nightmare. From the Al Shaver press box down to ice level. I told Jess this earlier, and I'll say it to you, David. I said to my play-by-play partner last night on the radio, I said, I got no shot here. These numerals are really hard to read, almost impossible, especially down in the corners. It was crazy.
Yeah, there was a few years ago Centennial had an outfit like that, a jersey that was, I think there was some stripes involved. Yeah. It's just very hard to read, and I thought to myself at the time, boy, that's going to be a nightmare for those that have to call the game on radio, because I didn't actually think Chanhassen was that difficult, to be honest, but I do agree with what you said about St. Cloud Cathedral today. I thought those jerseys were just spectacular. Beautiful baby blue with the gold numbers and the darker blue to trim. Just really, really pretty jerseys.
Well, and they tucked in the old Fighting Saints logo. The front, I mean, those were dandy. And my producer, Josh Wheeler, he says he's got someone in mind for a gift on that sweater. Those would sell. Those were really good.
Yeah, it's a good-looking sweater.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And David, you did a book a number of years ago, and I know we talked about it. I think it was released in 2020.
It was.
Tourney Time. And it's been updated. And tell us more about it. I know hockey fans everywhere picked up the original Tourney Time, but what are they going to see in this revised and updated edition?
Well, for those that didn't get the first edition, what made the secret sauce of that book that we put out was we wanted to bring the color and the personalities out in the various teams that won the tournament over the years. And so each chapter was a different championship team, starting in 1945 and going all the way to 2019. And then a few sidebars in there about people that maybe didn't win a championship, but you can't tell the tournament story without them, like a Phil Housley, like a Doug Wu.
Yeah.
So we took that format and we just kept it going. We picked up and started with 2020, and then we went through last year, the 23 tournament. So four chapters were added. The price point is the same, actually. So the book is you know, expanded. It's also got a couple of sidebars, modern sidebars, and I think you'll be, if you loved everything you loved about the first version of Attorney Time, that storytelling is intact for the second version. And the other thing that I like is that we have some more single A presence in this version. We have a chapter dedicated to Mata Medei winning the 2020 championship. We have a sidebar dedicated to Mata Medei, a player theirs, the 23 championship, a story that's really never been told about the challenge of his journey as a player. And then the other sidebar we have is about from 2022 is about Hermantown. And so it's about Patrick Andrews. Because all we had in Hermantown in the first book was just sort of the lunacy of Bruce Plante and the Vanellis at St. Thomas Academy. And that's all fine and well. But we said, let's do something proper because Patrick Andrews was a product of the Hermantown system. And now he led the program to a title. So let's actually give Hermantown his due. So there's a lot of single A presence in the new chapters that are added. And I think that people are going to enjoy that. And it's going to continue to be well received.
Yeah, no doubt, David. And this is one of these things where you could probably do another one a few years down the road, because I think for the appetite for this tournament in the history of this tournament and all the stories associated, I don't think that's ever going to go away.
That's what I said. You know, we want to do this every 5 or 10 years. I'm game.
Yeah,
keep it up to do with 100. You know, we're just going to have to figure it out though, because this book's already pretty damn heavy. So we'd have to figure out a way to, I don't know how we're going to do it, but it's been fun. It's been a real treat to keep telling the stories and to see the way, you know, because now you got the more of the modern day stuff that you're talking to everybody about. And even with the modern day kids, they light up when you're asking them about the tournament experience, and they're just really just proud to be part of the tournament fabric. And as an extension of that, they're proud to be included in the book, and we're happy to have them.
Well, David, continued great work on that. Continued great work in the Star Tribune. And once again, a double-A third place game underway, double-A title game tonight. It'll be Chan against Edina. It should be a dandy. A couple of very talented clubs going at it at 7. And, of course, Ludani signs off after 60 years in the booth. So there's some great storylines tonight.
There absolutely is. And I should point out, to purchase the book, you can, of course, go to Amazon.com, but if you would like signed copies by Lauren Nelson and myself, you can go to – all you got to put in your web browser is legacy.hockey. That's it, and then that'll take you to the site that has a place you can order the book. There's information there. First of all, you're going to get a signed copy by both Lauren and I, and secondly, there's a place in there where you can put a dedication. So if you're giving it to yourself and you just want to – or if you're giving it as a gift, you could dedicate it. And so that's probably the best place to get it, and yeah, but yes, it is available through Amazon. It's also available through the website of our publisher, the Minnesota Historical Society Press.
All right. Well, good to see you yesterday. And, of course, continued good work, David. Always good to visit with you.
Also, very much a pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, David LeVake, Star Tribune, startribune.com. And we got the revised and updated edition of Tourney Time available, as he mentioned. You can find that online, as he mentioned a moment ago. Quick break. We'll come back. Girls state basketball tournament starts Wednesday over at the U. Williams Arena Maturi Pavilion. Absolutely perfect venues for this event. And it starts on Wednesday. The pairings were announced earlier today. We'll get into that momentarily here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. Twins win earlier. They beat the Yankees, or a reasonable facsimile of the Yankees, 10-7 in Fort Myers today. We'll take it, move on. I can say this, though. Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa looked really good today. If you're looking for a positive on March 9th, take that and run with it. We'll get into the Twins more later in the show. Dan Hayes from The Athletic will join us at 5:35. We talked a lot about the tourney that wraps up tonight. Edina and Chan at 7 o'clock from the Xcel Energy Center. Girls State Tournament starts Wednesday, and the brackets are set. And this is the perfect setup for the Girls State Tournament. Games start on Wednesday. Quarterfinals continue on Thursday. But you have both buildings and quarterfinal games going on all day on Wednesday. It is just absolutely phenomenal. One egg gets started Thursday at the barn. Number one seed in 1A is Goodhue. They'll open the tournament against Mayor Lutheran at 11 a.m. But once again, all the 1A games on Thursday. But 2A, 3A, and 4A all start on Wednesday. And the 2A bracket, Providence Academy and Matty Greenway, they're the number one. They'll battle Perham at 6 o'clock at the barn. And once again, that'll be on Wednesday. And then we jump over to the 3A tournament. And in 3A, they will get started bright and early, and that'll be over at Maturi Pavilion. And the number one seed is Benilde St. Margaret's, and they'll play Minneapolis Roosevelt at 10 a.m., and a team I've seen play this year, I saw them win their section final out in Stillwater against Matamidi. Number two, De La Salle against Totino Grace. That game at 2 o'clock at Maturi Pavilion. As a matter of fact, I'll have that call at the High School League website at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. And then I'll also have Rock Ridge against Alexandria area, the number three seed, at 4 o'clock. So I'll have a couple of girls' games on Wednesday. And once again, you can find the stream of those games at the High School League website, mshsl.org. And then finally, in the 4A tournament, that'll get started at Williams Arena at 10 a.m., and that'll be number one Hopkins against White Bear Lake area. And the rest of the 4A bracket, number two, St. Michael Albertville against Rosemount at 4. And then number two, Minnetonka at 2 at Williams Arena against Andover. And then the 4-5 game at the barn at noon, that'll be Maple Grove and Lakeville North. So the girls' tournament starting Wednesday over at the U. It's always a great time. We've got the news. We've got the weather at 5 here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.